This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
Ever since they closed the mine, there ain't too much to do with your time, except wash your clothes in the creek and fold the flannel till a gal come round with her solar panel. Yes, my daddy was a miner. I'm gonna be a sunshiner. My granddaddy was a miner. But I'm gonna be a sunshiner. She dug a big hole, told me it was normal. She said something about geothermal. She gave me a hard hat, said make yourself useful. Soon this old town will be carbon neutral. Yes, my daddy. Yes, my daddy was a miner. But I'm gonna be a sunshiner. My granddaddy. My granddaddy was a miner. A pretty little house, a generator held back, as quiet as a mouse. And I got me a job, and there ain't none finer. Going around me in the sunshine. A miner. I'm gonna be a sunshiner. Granddaddy, my granddaddy was a miner. I'm gonna be a sunshiner.
The Mammals, with the title track from their newest album called Sunshiner, here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. That tune kind of reminds me of a lullaby. And if there was a song, I heard someone say one time that folk music is music that people can sing along to. And I feel like that tune is so inviting that you're either swaying or you're singing along with it, or you just can't get the song out of your head for the rest of the day. That's my experience. I love the song. Well, Sunshiner from the Mammals here on the Book Show.
Thank you so much. As we were playing it, I was looking through the glass, and I loved seeing you sway in your chair there.
It's impossible not to move, I think.
Thank you. Yeah. That, you know, I have a little bit of a cold today, and I wrote that song when I was a little under the weather as well, and I only had about a five-note range, which is why, and we just sort of kept it in that space, you know, that it was born in. So this performance today was just like the day it was born.
I saw a headline somewhere on Mr. Google that said the Mammals are reunited. What does that mean?
I'm not sure what it means exactly. But the band name The Mammals means a lot to Mike and I, and to Ken here, who's playing bass with us, who played in the original incarnation of the band. And it sort of remains to be seen what it means to the greater world. But as you know, because you had us on your show back then, it was a fun era. You know, there were bands out there like Crooked Still and Uncle Earl and the Foghorn String Band and King Wilkie and all these different kind of experimenting old time or bluegrass.
The Ducks.
Bands. Yeah, the Ducks. Yeah. How did I not list them in there? yeah, we had so much fun back then playing these folk festivals and sort of setting the stage on fire a little bit with some crazy spins on old stuff and new songs that sounded old. So Mike and I, after the Mammals' original era, which notably had Tao Rodriguez Seeger, Pete Seeger's grandson, in the band back then. He was our, you know, other core founding Mammal.
And Chris Miranda, and Chris Mike's Miranda. Brother also is in
of
the band.
Of course, Mike's brother was our drummer for years, and it was a really fun era. And then we embarked on another journey as Mike and Ruthie, and that was, you know, kind of similar genres and music. We really haven't changed what we've done all that much through all these, like, 20 years Mike and I have been playing together under one name or another. But it evolved a bit back into a larger band recently. And the Mike and Ruthie band just wasn't as good of a name as the Mammals. And we had a few friends and fans and folks just saying, why aren't you calling yourselves the Mammals again? So we thought, well, let's do it. And this record began the recording process as a maybe Mike and Ruthie band album. But by the end, it was a Mammals record, and here we are on another Mammals tour. So,
who did you bring with you today?
We got Conrad Meissner playing the drum, singular today, but drums usually plural. We have Ken Murray, who I mentioned a moment ago, playing the bass, who plays all the piano and keyboards on the new record, by the way, and playing the keys on this tour with us. We're so grateful to have Will Bryant, and he's singing all the high parts and, you know, wowing the crowds all over the Northeast right now. We're finding it's really amazing to have five singers and we're all singing together. It's totally a joy for me. I love harmonies.
How about if we hear another tune and then we'll come back a little and talk a little bit more about other personnel on the album and also talk about your New Hampshire connection after we hear another song.
Sure. Let's do Maple Leaf. Yeah, showcase some more five people singing stuff.
They got Maple Leafs in New Hampshire. Right? Yeah. Can we talk about this one at all?
I wrote this song in Woodstock, where we live, Woodstock, New York. We live in the Hudson Valley where I grew up. And I was driving along in a big red maple leaf. One of the first beautiful ones falling of the year. It just hit my windshield, and it inspired me. I thought, wow, what a way to go.
The ocean waves, it's one of my dying wishes.
That's called Maple Leaf from the new Sunshiner album from the Mammals here on the Folk Show with Ruth Unger on the lead. She actually the pen behind that tune as well. What a beautiful song. Maple Leaf.
Thank you so much.
So what is, speaking of maple leaves, what is your New Hampshire connection?
Well, I grew up in Durham, New Hampshire. My dad is still at UNH. He's a business professor. And my mom was an elementary school teacher just over the border in South Berwick, Maine. But I grew up in Durham. I went to Oyster River High School. And I have so many friends that still live here in the state, particularly in the Seacoast, that I'm still in touch with. And I was in so many bands, you know, growing up that played around here, playing at the Portsmouth Music Hall as like a 16-year-old was a huge, you know, it. I often think it sort of ruined me because I thought, you know, this music thing is easy. It's like, look, you get to play these beautiful rooms. And I didn't realize how long and uphill the road can be in the real world when you're not living at your parents' house and using their cars and all that. But I grew up in an incredible music community, the Seacoast of New Hampshire. So many great bands and mentors and supportive and folks that I'm still in touch with.
You played a lot of other cool tiny rooms too, right?
Well, the Elvis Room is where I sort of cut my teeth in Portsmouth. It's no longer there anymore. But the Stone Church, you know, ubiquitous Stone Church. But there's people like Duncan Watt. We just did his podcast a couple of weeks ago, the Muse podcast. He recorded all of my early albums, and he's still, part of the scene. And people like John Nolan from Say Zuzu. I mean, I'm still in touch with these people, and they're still contributing. Brian Kilo from Groove Child. We just lost Jeff Bibbo. You know, the community is still very much part of my life today.
Let's take a short break, and we'll come back and hear some more from the Mammals here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
There is no shortage of information in this world. There can be a shortage of understanding. That's why Morning Edition brings you more than just the news. We work to slow the news down, to make sense of what's happening, to try to understand what really matters. Start every day fully awake with Morning Edition.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and from UNH's part-time and online MBA. Evenings in Durham and Manchester or online. GMAT waiver with 5 years experience. Fall application deadline June 1st. mba.unh.edu. This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, and our guests in the studio, the Mammals. Such a treat to have them here supporting their new release called Sunshiner while they're kind of in the area. So a pleasure to have the Mammals here in the studio. Let's talk a little bit about some of the folks that helped you out on the CD. It's kind of a family affair. I know you do a lot of work with Molly Mason and Jay Unger, right? And then you do some recording with those folks?
Sure. Well, that's my stepmom and my dad, and yeah, we've recorded and more often even just played shows together, you know. It's fun. Sometimes it's the Jay and Molly family band, which is them and Mike and I. On this record, there's just a little taste, a little wisp of them playing some bowed strings behind the a cappella ballad that my mom, Lynn Hardy, and I sing the vocals on. So that was fun.
And some of the other folks that we're familiar with, Sarah Jarosz helps out a little bit.
Yeah, we actually recorded, this is an album with 14 songs on it, right, Mike?
Yeah.
We recorded 25, so she's so wonderful, and we did a little session where we got her to play on like 3 or 4 songs, and many of those ended up being songs that felt like they needed to be on maybe the next record. So she is featured very minimally on the song Sunshiner, the title track. She sings a really awesome harmony. And it was fun, actually, when she was doing it, I said, at the end, like, Sunshiner. I was like, do it more Gillian. Yeah. And she was like, ooh, cool. No one ever tells me to do it more Gillian. But I was like, yeah, just flip it out.
When you said Sarah, I thought you were going to say Sarah Lee Guthrie.
She's also featured on it.
She sings on Culture War. Yeah. Oh, man, that was fun.
She's a great friend. Amy Helm, mm-hmm. who also lives in Woodstock, where we live. That's Levon's daughter and is on the circuit. Your listeners probably know about her. Or if you don't, definitely check out Amy when she comes to town.
Yeah.
Charlie Rose, was he in Barn Star?
Barn Star. Oh, yeah, okay. And also Elephant Revival.
Okay.
Part of that group.
And he's playing the dobro, right?
The pedal steel.
Pedal steel.
Pedal
okay.
steel. We go way back with Charlie.
Okay.
And
yeah, it's hard to nail him down for a tour, but he'll come in the studio in about 2 hours, lay down enough that
actually he's sort of a wizard on so many instruments. On the track Sunshiner again, that was the last song to be recorded on the album. You know, we generally record as a full band, but Sunshiner got written months after the primary sessions. And Ruthie and I just went up to the studio, the two of us, and recorded it very sparse, just guitar and vocals and fiddle. And I don't always operate this way, but I was like, this really should have pedal steel. So I emailed the track to Charlie, and literally 45 minutes later, he sent back 3 performances. And which was actually superfluous, because all we needed was the very first one he did. He knows just what we want, and he knows how to do it so quickly. And that was sort of the magic of the modern times we live in. Anyway,
the good side of it.
Charlie Rose.
Yeah.
I know you did a video for Sunshiner. Did you do videos for any of the other tunes on the album?
Yeah, we're holding back a video for this song that we might be about to sing right now. It's a song called When My Story Ends. And our friend was actually in the studio the day we recorded it. And he very, very politely filmed, you know, so as we just felt comfortable and didn't even know he was there. And then,
One thing that's sort of maybe a testament to what we do and how you don't make a lot of money in this business, and we don't have any record label backing us. Everything we do is very mom and pop or shoestring. And that includes calling in favors from our community circle of friends. And all the videos that we've made are really collaborations with friends who care enough about the music or just doing something together. So the When My Story Ends video is absolutely stunning. And it's a friend who's a professional Steadicam guy for TV shows, but he came into the studio. We didn't even know he was there. And then a couple days later, he sent us this gorgeously cut together video completely for free.
And the Sunshiner video.
The Sunshiner video was the same scenario.
It was a barter where our friend, who's an awesome filmmaker, he called us one morning. He said he's making an album of his songs, and he wanted us to overdub maybe guitar and vocal on one of his tracks. And we're like, cool, can we do a photo shoot after or something? And then the photo shoot spiraled into a video shoot. And then, yeah.
That was for free. And then another one, a video for the song Beautiful One is actually stunningly beautiful, and it's Felt Puppets stop motion animation by a friend of ours named Peter Yours Myers.
He's an educator at the Ashokan Center, which is where my dad runs music camps and where we host our festival, the Hoot. And year round, they do environmental education for school groups. So we know him from Ashokan, I heard he did stop motion animation. I thought, man, you want to work on one of these songs? Yeah. So that was a happy
I mentioned
there.
It just to tip my hat to the so many hands that have contributed to the rollout of this release.
So what we'll do is we'll let you play the tune, mm-hmm. and we're going to invite listeners to see it on the radio just by closing their eyes, and they mm-hmm. can create their own video of this next one from the Mammals. How about that?
Great.
All right, a song's called When My Story Ends. Oh, I hope I get to say goodbye to all my friends when my story ends, when my story ends. And if I don't, I pray that we have made amends when my story comes to an end. Who've gone before me, they're around me now, they're around.
of favorites from the Sunshiner album, and that's one of them, from the Mammals here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
Thanks so much. Oh, it's nice to do it in this little studio here and hear everybody singing on that last verse. I wrote that song, forgot to put a chorus in there, so so we just have everybody sing on the last verse.
It's really sweet. Just love it. So some shows that are coming up that folks can check out if you are in the Burlington area on the 18th. The Mammals will be at Higher Ground, and then they're heading back to Woodstock at the Colony on the 19th. And there's some festivals that are happening this summer that may be of interest to you that aren't too far away. Let's see, it's a lot of New York shows, but the Clearwaters Great Hudson River Revival is happening on the 16th and 17th. You're also going to find them in New Bedford, Massachusetts on July 7th and 8th. That's always a great festival. It's at the New Bedford Folk Festival. Yeah. And then heading through the summer, going to barrel right through the summer to Fresh Grass in the fall. That's a great festival down in Massachusetts.
Did you mention Green River in July?
Oh, geez, I did not. That's a good one, too.
Yeah, I'm excited for
in
all
Greenfield,
these.
Greenfield, Mass.
Usually, I think, at Greenfield Community College over in that neck of the woods. So
they
the always have a great
down,
lineup.
They let off the big hot air balloons.
Oh, it's so much fun. So much fun. Yeah. One of my old friends, Jim Olson, has a hand in producing that
I think
festival.
He has two hands in it.
Yeah, he really does. He really does. Yeah. He used to be the program director at a station called WRSI in Greenville, Massachusetts, and I worked there. But enough about me. Let's talk about the Mammals and what they've got going on. So these are some fun things. Now, you did mention that you had a whole lot of tunes on this CD that you actually didn't record. So do you plan on doing a follow-up and use some of those ones?
They got recorded. They just didn't get released.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
We had too many. And the weird thing is now we're writing new songs that we want to record, and then we'll have too many for the next record as well. So that's a sort of a good problem.
It's a luxury problem.
Well, yeah. So this record's called Sunshiner, and it's generally, although the selections we've just performed for you today have been on the mellower side, there's a lot of upbeat material, for lack of a better.
A lot of genre bending music.
Well, we tend to
that's what I heard
sort
it called.
Of become our thing, I guess. Yeah. We bounce around just to what interests us, you know. I mean, lots of bands do that.
Right.
I mean, the Beatles were probably the best example. They were all over the place.
Right.
So they're certainly heroes of ours and trailblazers. But anyway, this next thing we're going to release, I believe in the fall, is the working title is Nightcap, to be a companion to Sunshiner, which is like the daytime sunny album. And Nightcap is going to be a very moody collection of, I think, 6 or 7 nighttimey feeling songs.
Sort of slow it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you two actually start playing music together? So you were in New Hampshire doing your thing. And Ruth, what were you doing in New York?
Well, we both went to school for theater. Me at Bard College, also in New York State. And Mike went to Bowdoin in Maine. And then we ended up both studying Shakespeare in London, but separate years. Didn't meet there. But we met because of that program once we both migrated to New York City, where all good theater majors go. And so we end up meeting because of some college friends and connections from that theater program. And it was weird because I had folk music parents. And when I met Mike and heard his songs, it was a lot of fun to harmonize and get back into the feeling of that world of singing songs, which I was at that point eschewing for the, you know, theater world, which I thought was much more my thing. So when I ended up, pulling my fiddle out of the old closet where it had been hiding for 6 years and kind of learning some chords on the guitar for myself, staking out my own little thing in this music thing. I don't know how to put it, but,
Ruthie sort of cracked me up when I first met her.
It was like giving
her.
Up for me and going, all right, this is what I do now.
She, of course, was raised by musicians and couldn't escape it as a younger girl. And she was living in this tiny apartment in New York City. And in her closet was this dusty guitar case and a dusty fiddle case that, were, of course, had a guitar and a fiddle inside. And they weren't even things that she was using. And when space is at such a premium in New York City, why would you have these large items with you? But they were sort of like her That was like mementos.
They're
of
like
your
totems like, or something.
Totems.
I couldn't live in a place that didn't have a Gibson guitar somewhere in it.
Yeah.
It even though I didn't really quite know how to play
it. So
yet.
Even though you were eschewing your past in some ways, you were carrying it with you.
And I guess you're right.
And you know, because Ruthie was raised by musicians, and most of the music she experienced was the generation older than her. You know, it was her parents' thing. And I think when she met someone her own age, which happened to be me, and a good friend of ours named Carter Little, who was one of my college buddies. We were living in New York City together at the time. That sort of pulled her back into music, like-minded peers that she could
Carter, Mike had mostly like, you know, a CD and tape collection that you would have heard on WUNH or whatnot. Like for me, when Carter, the third guy in that time, he had Fiddle Fever albums. He had albums with my mom and dad on them, and he was like 22 like I was. And I was like, wow, somebody that age who cares about, you know, I remember Kate Brislin, Jody Stecker albums and other sort of interesting old string band stuff. And I thought, okay, well, maybe everything I grew up isn't just like totally uselessly dorky. And I can
see. He had more of an NHPR collection.
He sure did.
I had more of a WUNH collection. That's right.
And yeah, and I had like a very strange collection of like 80s bargain basement, like Billboard hits of the 80s. I was trying to catch up on everything I missed.
Dance party.
And this is during the early 2000s,
dances,
of course, if we're talking about. Yeah,
so. Anyway, I guess we met in the city is the short answer. And we left the city.
And how long ago was that?
We met in the December of 98. So
it's been a while. You've had some practice playing together.
20 years ago.
Holy moly. We met at a Christmas party. a Bard College alumni Christmas party that I'm sure Ruthie hasn't been to since.
No, I haven't gone to another one. They have them every year. They have one in New York and L.A. and like just for anybody who's graduated. I went to my very first one just out of college. I thought this is what everyone does. And
I was just tagging along with my roommates who were Bard students.
Yeah, me and my friend Jessica, she had a small bottle of vodka and I had a small bottle of gin and we ordered tonic water all night long. That's how thrifty we were back in the day. Just tell your listeners that fun fact. The night I met Mike, I was hiding a bottle in my coat. It's a really long time ago. I don't think
now you're hiding like a baby bottle in your
coat. Yeah, now it's more days. like a Kind bar or you know something to just get me some nutrition.
Yeah.
So you write songs together, perform together. You're on the stage together, travel together. You live together. You also are producing a festival together. Isn't that right?
Yeah, this sounds intense. How do we do all that together?
So you do that. You do the Hoot together. Is that a production of Ruth and Mike?
Co-production.
Well, really, Mike curates the lineup because he's always been really good at that. He picks the bands and he picks the order and the sequence of it all and the flow of the actual music. And I do everything else.
So do you play at it? Because I don't think I have this on your schedule.
Yeah, at the end of August, the Summer Hoot is the last weekend of August. It's at the Ashokan Center in Olive Bridge, New York, just 20 minutes west of Woodstock, New York, in the beautiful, beautiful trees on this beautiful hillside. And we have these stages that alternate right at the foot of the hill. We have a late night square dance. There's all sorts of great stuff goes on.
25 bands performing on two alternating stages. Most of the bands are personal friends of ours who are playing for an honorarium, shall we call it. Yeah. And the ticketing is name your price at the gate so nobody feels like they're priced out of the event.
Come one and all.
Sounds like fun.
And the website is Hoot.
Is there camping?
Hoot.love. Yeah, there's camping.
Okay.
And there's also private accommodations on site.
That usually sell out on the morning of June 1st when the lineup and tickets are announced and go on.
We'll be looking for that announcement on June 1st.
Yeah, Summer Hoot.
We'll post it on our calendar, too. We have a folk calendar on our website at nhpr.org with a listing of all the festivals and shows.
Great. So that's sweet.
We'll make
Thanks
sure
for including
we can direct
it.
People from New Hampshire down there.
Well, my parents come to every Hoot, so maybe you can catch a ride with them.
This is our sixth annual Summer Hoot. Notably, the very first Summer Hoot in 2013, Pete Seeger played on Sunday morning, and there wasn't a dry eye. Toshi had passed away in July, and this was August, and he sort of took us through that with him in the moment, and I'll never forget it. We knew him pretty well and got to play a lot of shows with him throughout his 80s and 90s, and he was just one of the local acts we got out for the first summer. Yeah.
You're listening to the Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio, and the Mammals are going to take a break for just a second and then come back and play another tune here at NHPR.
At one point, your car felt pretty high-tech.
To the Batmobile.
But now, the radar for the Batscope sticks, and those rear rocket launchers never seem to work in heavy traffic. So riddle me this. When you upgrade, why not donate your old mobile to NHPR? We'll take care of the paperwork, schedule a free pickup, plus you could get yourself a groovy tax break.
Holy guacamole!
Be a hero. Donate your old vehicle to NHPR at nhpr.org/cardonation.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Vineyard Brands, importers of La Vieille Ferme wines from the Perrin family of the Southern Rhone Valley, available at New Hampshire State Liquor Stores, on the web at rhone.net. You're listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio, and our guests in the studio, The Mammals. What are you going to play for us next?
We're going to do the song that leads off the new record. It's called Make It True. And sort of sums up what we try to do in this line of work is travel around and, you know, manifest new possibilities.
One, two. All around the world, me and you, casting off for someplace new, casting out to conjure cure. There's a better world in store. Someday sing the blues, someday sing those harmonies too. Yeah, we do. And we'll one day sing those words that will make it true.
Show from the album Sunshiner. Say it and make it so. That's what you got to do. So you're going to make it true.
Indeed.
Yeah. So how are you doing? Are you having a good time?
You mean in life or
yeah,
on your show?
Not just here. No.
We're having a good time both places.
Yeah.
Your show is great. And I think we are sort of living the dream. I mean, the dream is much different than you think it's going to be when you start out as a kid and say, I'm going to be a musician. But it's a beautiful journey that we're on together, and we travel with our kids. We have a 10-year-old and a almost 6-year-old, and I mean, we travel the world and we play music for people and make a lot of friends, hear a lot of great music, and you know, it keeps you on your toes, I think, to be an artist in America, because you can't really ever slow down. You always have to move forward, and you really rely on the community. You have to sort of do a trust fall into it, and like I said, you meet some of the best people out there who are willing to, you know, put some wind in your sails. That includes DJs, ooh, audiences, concert presenters, house concert people. I mean, you name it. It takes so many people to share music. Even though it's easier than ever, it's probably harder than ever as well, because streaming has made it such that releasing a record isn't really financially viable anymore. So it's
sort of like your record elopes.
It's a labor of love like never before, I would say.
I just came up with this metaphor. Like, it used to be like this celebratory feeling, like a wedding when your album came out. Now it feels like an elopement. Like, it just ran off and it married the people and you weren't even invited or something. I don't know if that really works, but I'm gonna say that one.
I kind of like it.
You know, and we have this Patreon page where, you know, so if Spotify is new, so is Patreon. And we have people who donate a certain amount a month, even $1 a month, to our cause. And it's amazing how many wonderful, supportive fans we have out there that are doing that. And that enables us to still make records, even though the product itself, we do still sell CDs at shows. People still buy them and people still go to our website and download the album. There's certainly more free streaming than ever before. So it's nice that there's this way to facilitate people to also just give and who want to. We actually have a lot of special behind-the-scenes content that we offer to those patrons. And I would tell you that less than 10% of the people actually check that stuff out. And that, to me, it just means that they just are trying to help us out, mm-hmm, and they don't even want the gifts back.
Even though you have value added in your product.
Right. Yeah. Well, like that Nightcap release, mm-hmm, I mentioned, they're already hearing it, or maybe two people are.
Yeah, some of them have checked it out. Yeah. And yeah, we have a few very interactive folks on there who love to check out all the stuff.
So. Some of them are from New Hampshire, too.
There's so many independent artists out there that really have to do everything. They're doing the management. They're doing the distribution. And you have your own record company. Do you still call it a record company, Humble Abode?
It seems like a...
Do you call it that anymore?
To call it a company seems like,
I know,
you need to have employees or something.
It's a label.
It's me and Ruthie. We do have our buddy Ovi, who's an assistant. It's a label, Humble Abode Music. We've released, is this number 16?
Yes, it's number 16.
Their 16th release. And, you know, I think what a lot of people don't realize is we spend at least 90% of our time doing that.
The management, administration.
The label, mm-hmm, stuff, and 10% actually playing music, which is in some ways sad.
I think it's shifting now that the record's out, actually. We're actually playing maybe like 20 or 30%.
I forget that it does go in phases. We've just gone through a long phase of setting this record up for release, and now we're on the road.
Right. It's project management is what it is. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, and it's cool. It's, you know, it's I don't like to complain too much about the life of being a musician, because I think no matter what you choose to do, there's going to be the parts that aren't that fun. And then the parts that are super fun. And the fun parts are great. We always joke we drive for a living and we play for free. You know, it's kind of the same thing with all the desk work.
And people ask, when do you find time to write songs? And I think my honest answer is, I do not know.
Yeah.
But as natural as it is to breathe, they happen, you know. There's always songs there, new songs. They get written in the cracks of...
They demand to be written.
To come to service. So.
In fact, I don't know if we can leave you with one more, but this is kind of segueing pretty nicely. I wrote a song when our son was maybe one or so, and he is a very energetic little guy. And, you know, it just was a song that I had to write, and I had no time to write a song, certainly, but it needed to happen. It was like therapy, as I'm sure other people have said about writing. But it's still fun to sing and flash back to that moment in time. And it's sort of a late night song, so maybe this is the right time to to do it.
We sure do appreciate you coming in and sharing your music with us. I know you're very, very busy, so it's really a treat for our New Hampshire audiences and beyond, because people listen on the web. It's a treat for our listeners to be able to hear the Mammals in our studio. So one last tune from the Mammals with our gratitude for coming by.
Oh, thanks so much for having us. It's called Staying Up Late.
Recent release, Sunshiner. That's the Mammals, and Stay Up Late here on the Folk Show. They may be producing their newest recording in the fall, and it's going to be called Nightcap, so we'll all be looking for that. And if you get a chance, check out the Mammals website. It's themammals.love. to find out where they're going to be playing near you. This is NHPR. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Capital Roofing, offering commercial and residential roofing and more with minimal impact on daily lives, homes, and landscaping. More at capitalroofingne.com. We're winding down here at the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.